This is Start Money Podcast. If the subject is about money and life or questioning the so-called experts on the subject, we open the conversations.
Welcome to the Smart Start Money Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Flynn. Considering adopting or buying a dog, it can be a priceless experience being a pet owner. Although it's important to be prepared for the costs involved to ensure a dog has a happy and long life. Today, I'm going to cover the true costs of dog ownership. It's not just food and treats. Before I get into the topic of dog ownership, if you like the podcast, check out my website at smartstartmoney.com. Let me know your thoughts and comments on today's topic. This site also has a number of articles on life and money, along with some helpful resources. So let's get right into the topic today of money and life. Again, it is the true cost of dog ownership. Just to kind of throw a number out there, according to the AAPPA, the National Pet Owners, had a survey, and 60.2 million households have a dog. Now, dogs can be great companions, and they can even improve a person's health. That's been in many studies where having a dog can just make someone healthier. You know, you go on walks with dogs, you play with dogs, they'll get you out and get you moving around. But buying a dog can be as expensive as, it might be free, maybe you adopt one, it can be $50, maybe a few dollars to get shots, or the costs can run into thousands of dollars. And it's not just the initial purchase price of buying a dog where the charges are. And most people, they truly underestimate the cost of owning a dog over its lifetime. And purchasing a dog, it's a long-term commitment. If you're currently considering buying a dog, you never own one, you definitely have to keep that in mind. And it's not uncommon for people to buy a dog only to realize that it's not quite what they imagined. And this typically happens a lot of times around the holidays. It's regularly seen that you know, around the holidays, dogs are given as family presents, and the animal shelters have a tendency to be a little more crowded a few months after the holiday season, unfortunately, due to that. Because a lot of times what happens during the holidays is someone will give a dog as a gift, and shortly after the holidays, that person finds out that it's a little more than they are capable of taking care of, either on a responsible front or financially. It can be tough to argue the costs involved with owning a dog, or any pet for that matter. The experience truly can be priceless, but it is important to be prepared for the costs involved to ensure that dog has a happy and long life. I do own a dog personally, and I can say it definitely has its ups and downs, but the experience is one that you can't really put a price on. So having said that, let's get into what does it cost annually truly to own a dog, just to kind of get into some of the figures here. And the annual cost for a dog is, first of all, obviously it's dependent on the dog size. So an annual cost of around $1,000 for a small dog, around $1,200 for medium size, and around $1,500 for a large dog is the average amount according to the ASPCA. Now, I truly believe this average cost is probably much higher, with the lifetime cost of owning a dog equaling probably anywhere between $27,000 to $47,000, and that's in a dog's lifetime, and that's just the average. So it could be slightly more, it could be slightly less. But think about those figures for a minute, and that is comparatively what some people earn in a year, some people earn in a half a year, over the lifetime of owning a dog. Now, the ASPCA survey reported dog owner annual expenses to be broken down with an average of the following. You have $257 in routine veterinarian visits, $235 for food, $72 for dog treats, $84 for grooming, and $47 for dog toys. And those are the annual average expenses. Now, again, these costs broken down seem to be a little low in my opinion, just being a dog owner for several years. But again, it will be dependent on the size of the dog. And the variance in the average prices could be a little bit, could be big, just depending on the size of the dog. Cost can also vary greatly with a dog depending on the care and how much someone may spoil their dog. There's plenty of people that certainly go above and beyond taking care of a dog, and there's nothing wrong with that. I know my family, we spoil ours many times too. And there's also many differences among dog breeds that may require more or less expensive care. There's certain breeds that tend to have more health problems. So you can add in a dog that might develop allergies, and it can quickly get expensive to own a dog over its lifetime. And some of those variables you don't know when you're other than researching the breed, you don't know when you buy a dog. Dogs are just like people, some have allergies, some don't. And you never really know until you get a dog. Some dogs might be more prone to it, but you never really know. Now just to run down some of the expenses with owning a dog, in addition to the routine expenses of the food and the treats and toys and vet visits. There's also things like grooming that can be involved. You can either give your dog a bath at home, take them to the groomers. Maybe you take them every once in a while. That is another cost. But in addition to something like grooming, there's quite a few other expenditures that often don't come to mind with people that are thinking about buying a dog. And one of those is damage. Now, when I say damage, this one I can tell you from my personal experience. Owning a dog, there's going to be collateral damage as a dog owner. And this can be especially the case with having a puppy. So shoes, clothes, furniture, those are just a few of the real possibilities of damage when you bring home a dog. And this can be especially the case with a puppy, like I said. It can take a while to train a dog, and sometimes it may work, but they can revert back to their destructive behavior. So just because you train a dog and it looks like the dog is no longer eating your shoes, that doesn't mean you won't leave the dog at home alone one day for a long period of time, and the dog will get a little angry and look for something to destroy, and those shoes will come to mind again. In the case of my dog, he's actually pretty good. He knows he should not do certain things, and most of the time he's well behaved. However, when he craves attention and isn't getting it, something may be up for the choice to be the victim of destruction. It does happen every once in a while. It doesn't happen very often, but every so often I know, like, we've left him home a little longer than he's used to here and there, and come home and he found a piece of mail or something on the table and just shredded it. So it's things like that. And when he was a puppy, we certainly had to keep an eye on him quite a bit more. I have a few pieces of furniture, and right before we bought him, probably a year before, I bought a new couch, bought some new furniture, and the one couch within about a year was ruined. The furniture has little puppy pieces taken out of it from when he was gnawing on it when I didn't see him doing it. So there are some things to keep in mind. You know, if the dog gets on the furniture, has an accident, or on the carpet, it's never going to be the same. So it's that unknown damage that is one of the big costs that people don't often take into account. Another thing is increased living expenses. The guarantee of some type of damage is a real possibility, like I just covered, of owning a dog. And for this reason, if you're renting, A landlord will charge a large security deposit a lot of times from a renter that has a dog, if they even allow pets. And this cost can be $350 or more in addition to a non-refundable fee. So realistically, the security deposit has a good chance of not being refunded either. There may also be an extra monthly charge added to the rent for having a dog in a place that you rent. But if there's one thing I can tell you, and I've certainly rented plenty of places in my lifetime without being a dog owner, is landlords a lot of times will look for a way to keep the security deposit. And especially if you have a pet, they're going to have more reasons probably to keep a security deposit. So you need to keep that in mind. When you put that money down as the word security deposit, it's probably really just a cost. There's a good chance you're not going to get the security deposit back. Another cost to consider that many people don't realize is insurance. There's a real possibility that a home insurance policy will go up if you are a dog owner. Now, this can depend on the insurance carrier and some other variables, but it can also be dependent on the breed of dog. It does happen. So this adds some insurance in the event of a dog bite or some other type of accident involving the family pet. There's just some insurance carriers, some states, the insurance will go up. So if you're a homeowner and there's good dog breeds of every kind, but there's certain ones that are certainly more powerful and stronger than others. And if you decide to get one of those types of dogs, your insurance may go up quite a bit. So that's another cost to keep in mind. Another thing that people don't realize when they buy a dog is, until it comes up a lot of times, is travel. Travel expenses for a dog are one of the factors I see that many people don't consider. So if you need to go out of town or want to leave on vacation, someone needs to be there to take care of your dog. If no one's going to be around, it could be a family member or a friend or someone, but it may also be someone that comes with cost. So either a house sitter or boarding for the dog. So that's something to keep in mind as well, is especially if you travel a lot, getting a dog it's really not fair to the dog unless it's a small dog that you can take with you all the time. Leaving the dog alone with somebody that isn't there all the time, it puts a stress on the dog. Now, there are places that will allow a person to take their companion with them, and this seems to be somewhat growing. Some hotels will allow it, but they'll allow it for an added fee a lot of times. So seems to be a growing option, but it does come with a cost. Now, I know personally for my family, we, as being a dog owner, if we want to take a vacation, which we've done for the last couple of years now, going to the mountains in Georgia, there's a lot of cabins that allow you to bring your dog with you. And again, the costs vary. Some require a security deposit if you bring a dog, some don't. The company we go through, it's actually a management company, and the private owners set what the prices are that they want to charge, and some cabins allow dogs, some don't, but a lot of them do. So that's definitely an option, is to travel and take vacations, or you can take your pet with you. So increasing care is another thing to consider if you're wanting to bring a dog home, as pets can be, I think I've mentioned, a lot like people. And as they get older, the care can become more expensive. So an older dog might develop, chronic issues with age that might cost much more than you originally planned for. So that's something to keep in mind. Now, a puppy that's brought into the home could also look and test completely healthy, only to find out it has a condition down the road, such as an allergy. And I think I've covered allergies, but they may require extra medication, regular additional flea and tick control. So there's certainly some things to consider with increasing care costs. When you first bring a dog home, everything might be going well for the first 3 or 4 years, and all of a sudden your dog develops a condition along the way that needs to be taken care of. So that is something to consider as well. I know for me personally, just a quick side story is before we brought the dog home that we have now, we decided to adopt a dog. It was from a adoption place. We picked out a puppy. It was friendly, and at the time, my wife really loved the dog. So we got the paperwork saying the dogs had all their shots, everything was taken care of, the dog was healthy, and we brought the dog home. And within probably a couple days, the dog started to get very sick. And it only started to go downhill, and we took the dog to an emergency clinic, and come to find out that the dog had a disease called parvo, which is very deadly in young dogs. And needless to say, after thousands of dollars of trying to save the dog's life, the dog passed away. You need to prepare yourself for things like that. That can happen. Another thing with a dog is, like I was just mentioning, those unexpected emergency vet bills. And these could reach, as I was just going through my story, thousands of dollars. And it's not just for diseases and sicknesses. Dogs by nature get into things they shouldn't. And they're very curious animals. You got a picture of having only paws and mouths to kind of grab things and test them out. It's not uncommon for a dog to eat a piece of a sock, a toy, whatever it may be, and all of a sudden you're in the animal hospital, the emergency animal hospital, and they're having surgery to remove whatever the dog swallowed. And that's going to run you thousands of dollars. There is pet insurance that can be purchased. However, it will be costly and will likely not cover everything that can come up. Like any type of insurance, depending on what comes up, they have so many clauses and things where they can back out of paying for things. If you buy on pet insurance, look at it really closely and make sure it's really going to be worth the cost. One thing I do recommend just about everyone that is considering bringing a dog home is an emergency fund. Now, at Smart Start Money, I always advocate having an emergency fund regardless of buying a pet. But if you are considering buying a dog, you should have an emergency fund in place. If you're going to be a dog owner, it's irresponsible to be an owner of a dog without having some type of an emergency fund. And this is in addition to your emergency fund for things like living expenses, should you lose your job. There just really needs to be some money set aside for that dog. You know, if you bring a puppy home, I mean, you could be anywhere from, you know, 10, 15 years that you're going to have that dog at home, just depending on the breed. So it's important to have money set aside. That way you will have the money to take care of a dog in the event that an emergency happens. Because the last thing you want to do is an emergency happens and you decide to put it on your credit card. This is a quick way to get into debt, which I advocate again. Everyone needs to climb out of debt as quick as they can and remain debt free. So without having an emergency fund as a dog owner, you're really looking at getting into some trouble debt wise. Now that I went through all the costs of owning a dog, and hopefully it's not making any listeners have second thoughts about it, getting a dog. That's not what this is about. It's just letting people know what the true costs of dog ownership are, because many times people believe that it's just, well, it's just, you know, a vet visit here and there, the cost of treats and the cost of food. But there's many other costs involved. And like I said, those averages from, I believe it was $27,000 to $47,000, you know, for the lifetime ownership of a dog, that's a lot of money that could go to, you know, retirement or other financial obligations that you might have. Now, if you have a lot of debt, I wouldn't recommend buying a dog either. It's just, it's not fair to you. And it's not fair to the dog because there are expenses that are going to come up and you want to make sure being fair to the dog, taking care of it well, that you have the money to care for it. So now that I went through the costs, there are quite a number of benefits on why someone should get a dog. Even with the cost, there are unquestionable benefits that are honestly priceless. The first thing is there's a value on companionship with a dog. And in all honesty, the companionship of having a dog, it's probably one of the best. They don't care much about anything except unconditional love, to be honest with you. If you have a bad day, they'll be there to cheer you up. They don't care who you know or what you do. They're always just happy to see you. Another thing is dogs can make their owner healthy, as I mentioned before. And I can personally claim this significance of a health benefit. Following my dog coming home to the family, it wasn't long before I probably lost 10 pounds. Just playing with the dog and walking the dog, it'll certainly keep you more healthy. The American Heart Association has even stated that 54% of dog owners are much more likely to get the recommended exercise that they need. So keep that in mind as a benefit. Another benefit is someone that has a dog is less likely to be depressed. Another health benefit, also less likely to be stressed or lonely. Another statistic to throw on here is the National Alliance on Mental Illness states that people with dogs tend to have lower blood pressure and as a result, less likely to end up with heart disease. Playing with dogs also is shown to increase dopamine levels. The result of a dog owner is it's a much more positive outlook on things a lot of times. Being a dog owner also starts conversations and it can benefit socialization. So if you're someone that doesn't get out very often, you don't socialize very often, if you start taking your dog to out in public, to a dog park, you're sure to strike up conversations with people. They might even want to pet your dog and you know, they'll probably just want to talk a little. I know from personal experience, my family and I take my dog many places and it never fails. Someone always wants to pet him and chat. Either, you know, just because they're a dog lover in general or they've owned a similar breed. So there's really when you bring home a dog, there's really a purpose in having a dog each day. And that can be a benefit. It can provide a real sense of self-worth and it provides a definite cause to get up each day. If you're a dog owner, it really won't even be a choice to roll out of bed in the morning. You can trust me on this. The dog will make you get up just about all the time. When they're ready to get up, they're going to get you up. And what happens with this as a benefit is you tend to not sleep in as much and it can lead to a much more productive day. So just to kind of recap with the prices of dog ownership, even with my own, I guess, frugal state of mind. As I mentioned, I have a dog and he's become another part of the family, kind of another child for my wife and I. And the dog's also a little brother for my daughter. He's become a part of the family. If you're currently in the decision process of the choice to be a dog owner, even though there are costs involved with it, and you should really have things set in place and be prepared, I highly recommend it. Although it's important to plan for the commitments and costs, owning a dog, it's a long-term obligation that's not negotiable. A dog owner has to consider the costs and plan for them. You really just need to plan for them to be responsible. As I mentioned, having large amounts of debt, it's really not the time to go out and get that new puppy. It may relieve stress, create happiness, but it's not a fair decision to the dog. It'll only be a selfish one with the dog being the recipient of the consequences. I see so many dog owners that either are not responsible enough to have one or not in a position that they should have one. getting a dog and having to turn it into the shelter or give it to someone else, it's really not an option. It leads to a hard time for the dog owner, but it's also not easy on the dog. It's stressful on a dog to have a home and then be given to somebody else. So I highly recommend becoming a dog owner if you are currently not in a position to do so. Maybe set it as a goal. If you don't have an emergency fund, you're in debt, maybe get out of debt and set up that emergency fund. It really will be something that is priceless if it's something you really want to do. It might even be, maybe you just want to give it a try as well. So maybe you want to work part-time as a dog walker if you're not sure about getting a dog. That'll give you some exposure. Most people know a person with a dog. Just, you know, try to ask questions, spend a little more time around them. But if you get a job as a dog walker or sitter, it might even earn you some extra money while you're working towards or considering getting a dog. So it's something to think about. I'm Eric Flynn. Thanks for listening to the Smart Start Money podcast. If you have questions or comments on today's topic, visit smartstartmoney.com and look for the contact page. Join me on the next episode as I take a look at applying for jobs online. Does it still work? If you're currently in the job market, join me as I take a look at the success rate of landing a job through one of the popular career sites or directly through an employer's website.